am not rescuing you again.
Noted, Luna said, bounding to the cave entrance. Be back soon, Blue.
She soared up into the sky, scattering raindrops in all directions, with Swordtail in her wake. Blue sighed.
I wish I were that excited about getting wings, he said. I mean, I am. I'm just nervous, too.
That sounds normal to me, Cricket said. But you'll be all right once it starts. How are you feeling? Do you have the same symptoms as Luna?
He lifted his wrists and she held them gently while she studied them.
Your silk glands look very bright, she said.
So did Luna's, he said. Kind of golden and fiery, just like this.
Wow, she said. I might be best friends with a real flame silk.
He couldn't squash down his smile. Best friends?
Well, my circle of options is a little smaller than it used to be, she said, flicking her tail at the cave and at Sundew, who was sorting through her pouches and grumbling. But the truth is, I'd want you to be my best friend, even if I knew every dragon in Pentala.
Same, he said, resting his head on his talons. That's how I see you. Best friend, best brain, best heart.
Aw, she said. She lay down and snuggled up next to him. Are you totally asleep yet? Before you fall asleep, can you tell me about the Flame Silk Cavern? How does it work? How many dragons live there? What are they like?
Blue drowsily tried to answer her questions, but sleep pulled him down inexorably, chasing away the pain in his back and wrists. It was peaceful with Cricket by his side, and the rain pattering on the rocks around them. He felt calm again for the first time in days. He didn't know how long he slept, but he woke suddenly to the sound of screams from outside. Across the cave, Sundew dropped a handful of twigs and leaped to her feet. The three of them ran to the cave entrance and looked out. Up in the sky, a pair of hive wings had Swordtail and Luna cornered. They circled like hawks, jabbing and feinting, with claws and spears and stingers on their tails.
Luna!
Blue cried, starting forward, and immediately stumbling over his talons. Sundew caught him, pulling him back into the cave.
No way, she said. You can't fight in your condition.
You can barely fight when you're not half loopy on silk. She shoved him into Cricket's arms. Make him stay here. The Leafwing took off into the sky. It was raining harder than before, with a strong wind whipping up the seas. Blue watched in a daze as Sundew smashed into the hive wings, taking them by surprise. One wheeled around to grapple with her, and Swordtail broke away to tackle the other. They struggled for several rain-soaked moments, talons slipping on wet scales. Blue had always thought of Swordtail as the best fighter he knew. But next to Sundew and the soldiers, he seemed badly outmatched. The hive wing twisted to slash a claw along his side, and Swordtail roared with pain. Alone in the sky, Luna flung out her front talons. Blue could see that she was trying to protect Swordtail, that she was trying to set his attacker on fire. But her silk whipped out faster and wilder than she'd expected. The wind seized the golden strands and flung them together, weaving knots over Luna's head. In a sudden heartbeat, a sail of flame silk billowed out above Luna, and then the storm roared in, snared the sail, and blew her out to sea.
Luna!
Blue cried desperately. His sister seemed to be struggling with the silk, but she couldn't break free. Lightning flashed, and a moment later, the clouds had swallowed her up. Swordtail smashed his attacker in the face and flew after Luna, shouting her name. His wings beat frantically as he tried to catch up. Then he was gone too. Sundew was left grimly battling the two hive wings alone.
We have to go after them,
Blue said. His whole body was starting to shake, and his wrists felt like they were literally on fire.
Luna, Swordtail.
You can't go anywhere, Blue, Cricket said. She put her wings around him and guided him back into the cave, way to the back, toward the tunnels and secret passages. It's starting. We need to hide you somewhere safe. Let's think.
But
they'll come back, she promised. The storm will blow itself out, and they'll fly back here and want to find you safe and sound, okay? You'll make things much worse if you go out there and get captured by hive wings. She guided him down one of the passages, steering him around jutting spires of stone.
Sundew, he mumbled.
Can take care of herself, she said. In case you hadn't noticed, she's pretty fierce. Come on, I think I saw a cave this way. It's about as well hidden as we can get. He couldn't argue. He couldn't think. Apparently his head was no longer connected to his body. The walls were shifting and rolling and kind of sparkling, too. He felt dizzy and sick and very hot. It felt like an endless march before Cricket maneuvered him between two pillars into a small, curving cave with smooth walls. These ones really were sparkling, he thought. But actually, his eyes weren't to be trusted, so who knew?
I wish I were in the cocoon, he said,
his teeth chattering.
I wish I were home.
I know, Cricket said sadly. I know, Blue. I'm so sorry you can't be. He sank to his knees, and the silk started to pour from his wrists. It was bright and burning, flame silk all the way through, and it wove swiftly around his tail and talons. Everywhere it touched him, his muscles relaxed, and a feeling of peace slowly swept over him, like a wave filling him up. I'll be right here, Blue, Cricket said. He lay down, looking up into her wonderful face, lit by the glow of his flame silk. I'll be here the whole time. I'll be here when you wake up. You'll be safe. I promise. Blue was a dragon who didn't like change. But in the last 5 days, he'd discovered that his whole world was very different than he'd imagined. His queen was a controller of minds. The Book of Clearsight was a lie. And his father was a prisoner in a flame silk factory. And Blue was in love with a hive wing. He'd made it through all of those discoveries. He was stronger now. He saw things more clearly. Like Clearsight had written, he had to keep going and decide for himself what kind of dragon he wanted to be. After everything he'd been through, he knew he could handle a little thing like growing wings. The gold fire wrapped around him. Blue closed his eyes and let the change begin. Epilogue. Luna opened her eyes. A seagull skittered away from her, cawing indignantly about dragons who pretended to be food and then weren't. She was lying in wet sand. Wet sand was clumped between her talons and in her ears and in the cracks between her scales. Her face was half buried in it. She was pretty much plastered with wet sand from horns to tail. A wave rushed up from behind her, swooshing under her back talons and tail, soaking her underbelly, and whisking away again. Luna pushed herself up to a sitting position with a groan of pain. She fanned out her wings to check them. One was badly bruised. She had a vague memory of being hit by a hailstone. And one of her back ankles twinged horribly when she tried to stand on it. She dragged herself up the beach, away from the bustling waves. Ow! Everything ached. She squinted up at the aggressively cheerful sun. How far had she been blown from Blue and Swordtail? This beach didn't look like the one where she'd started out. Instead of tall cliffs, the sand here rolled up into low hills with patches of shrubs. Luna could see quite far up and down the coast and inland, but she couldn't see any sign of caves or hives. She rubbed her head, trying to remember the map of Pentala. She'd been in the air for days, tangled in her silk balloon as the storm swept her along. She remembered nothing but white-capped waves below her. Could she? She couldn't be. Surely. Talons landed on the sand slightly uphill from her. Luna started back, lifting one wrist to shoot fire if her wing was a hive wing. But it wasn't. This dragon was pale yellow, with light brown triangle markings on her wings. Only two wings, just one pair, like a leaf wing. But with her coloring, she definitely wasn't a leaf wing. And her wings weren't leaf-shaped either. They looked closer to bat wings, but covered in scales instead of fur. The dragon took a step toward her, and Luna realized there was something odd at the end of her tail. A barb, like she'd only ever seen before on scorpions. "What are you?" Luna said fiercely.
"Oh, you speak dragon," said the stranger. "That's lucky."
"What else would I speak?" Luna asked. "Who are you? Where am I?"
"I guess I thought your continent might have a different language," the yellow dragon said with a shrug. "I'm Jerboa."
"My continent?" Luna echoed. She lowered her arm. "Do you mean, did I really cross the ocean?"
"It looks that way," Jerboa said wryly. "But not entirely unscathed, I think. Are you injured?"
"Just a little." Luna tried to take a step and winced. "Yar, that's... ow! My name's Luna."
"My hut is just around that bend," Jerboa said, coming over and levering her wing under Luna's. "Hang on, we'll be there in no time."
They started across the sand. Luna found it much more difficult to walk in than Jerboa did. Her wing kept sagging unexpectedly under her claws, or sucking around her talons.
"I have to get back," Luna said. "My friends are over there. They need me, especially my little brother."
She tried to guess how long she'd been up in the storm. She was starving, but that wasn't much of a clue. Blue must have started his metamorphosis by now. Was he still in his cocoon? Was he all right?
"Well, you're not going far on these wings today," Jerboa said. "But help is coming. I have a feeling it'll be here soon."
Jerboa's hut was tucked into a cove, cozy and well-built, with a recently thatched roof made of palm fronds. Luna touched the wood of the door on the way inside. It was a real wood, and she was startled to see it used for a house as small as this. Maybe Jerboa was wealthier and more powerful than she appeared.
"Or maybe it's different over here," she realized. "Maybe there are still plenty of trees on this continent."
Jerboa helped her over to a bed made of more palm leaves, and Luna collapsed onto it, surprised by how exhausted she was. She was sure she'd slept on the beach for a while after a crash landing, but the walk to the hut had tired her out again.
"Sleep for a bit," Jerboa said. "I'll make fish stew."
Luna wriggled her snout. She said, "that's all right. Do you have any fruit? Or honey?" she added hopefully. Jerboa flicked her wings back with a thoughtful expression.
"Not a fish eater," she said. "What about crabs? Or rabbits? Or seagulls?"
Luna shook her head. "No animals, thank you," she said politely, and her stomach growled, as if disagreeing with her.
"I'll see what I have."
Jerboa glided off to another corner of the hut, and Luna felt herself slipping into a doze. Sometime later, Jerboa shook her awake, talons gentle on her shoulder.
"Luna, our guests are here."
Luna blinked awake. The light had shifted outside, and there were quiet voices coming through the window.
"I'll go get them," Jerboa said. "Don't be alarmed. This is who you need to talk to."
She went out the door. Luna tried to think, although her brain felt overwhelmed and still muddled with sleep. Who was here? How could they help her?
"To who?"
said a new voice, which was attached to a dragon ducking through the doorway. He was smaller than Jerboa, closer to Luna's size, but with the same kind of wings and tail as Jerboa. His scales were sand-colored like hers as well, and he wore a hoop earring in one ear. But following him through the doorway was another dragon entirely. She was black from nose to talons, except for a few silver scales scattered under her wings, and two teardrop silver scales in the corners of her eyes. A startled jolt ran through Luna, waking her up like a bolt of lightning. This dragon looked like Clearsight. Or at least, the way Clearsight always looked in pictures. Luna sat up as the two of them came closer, with Jerboa behind them.
"Oh, wow," said the one with the earring, noticing Luna.
"What?" said the Clearsight-looking dragon.
"How?"
"I believe this is our first visitor from the Lost Continent," Jerboa said. "She blew in with a storm."
The little black dragon sat down and tipped her head, as though she was listening to something far away.
"I'm Moon," she said, "and this is Qibli. Are you really from across the sea?"
"I guess so," Luna said. "It was kind of an accident, coming here. I'm Luna."
"Hi, Luna," said Qibli. "This must be pretty weird for you, too. You have so many wings. I mean, that's cool. Is it hard to fly with all those wings? That's a silly question. I can't believe we're meeting a dragon from another continent. This is amazing."
"Are you, like, Clearsight?" Luna asked Moon. "Can you see the future?" Moon's eyebrows shot up.
"You know about Clearsight?"
"I know some things about her," Luna said, thinking darkly of the book and the lies Queen Wasp had told about it. "I know she came from here, and she had scales like yours. I always wondered if there were other dragons over here who could see the future, too."
"I can, sort of," Moon said. "Not as well as she could. But I had a vision about you. That's why we're here."
"Was it about getting me home?" Luna asked, sitting forward and flaring her wings. "Do you know how I can get back there?" Moon shot Qibli an uneasy look.
"Not exactly," she said. "Although we can work on it."
"I have some ideas," Qibli said brightly.
"Good," Luna said. She settled back into the palm fronds. She was suddenly sure that storm had brought her here for a reason. "Let's figure out how to get me home, and you can all come with me. Especially you, Vision Dragon."
"Me?" Moon said. "Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen anything about..."
"You have to," Luna said. This dragon could be the secret weapon the Silk Wings and Leaf Wings needed. "My tribe needs your help." Triumph sizzled through her veins. "We're coming for you, Queen Wasp. And now we have a dragon who can really see the future. The reign of the Hive Wings is over."
A Guide to the Dragons of Penthala. Hive Wings. Description: red, yellow, and or orange, but always mixed with some black scales. Four wings. Abilities: vary from dragon to dragon. Examples include deadly stingers that can extend from their wrists to stab their enemies, venom in their teeth or claws, a paralyzing toxin that can immobilize their prey, or boiling acid sprayed from a stinger on their tails. Queen, Queen Wasp. Silk Wings. Description: Silkwing dragonettes are born wingless, but go through a metamorphosis at age 6, when they develop four huge wings and silk-spinning abilities, as beautiful and gentle as butterflies, with scales in any color under the sun, except black. Abilities: can spin silk from glands on their wrists to create webs or other woven articles, can detect vibrations with their antennae to assess threats. Queen, Queen Wasp. The last Silkwing Queen, before the Tree Wars, was Queen Monarch. Leaf Wings. Description. Wiped out during the tree wars with the Hive Wings, but while they lived, this tribe had green and brown scales and wings shaped like leaves. Abilities. Could absorb energy from sunlight and were accomplished gardeners. Some were rumored to have unusual control over plants. Queen. Last known queen of the Leaf Wings was Queen Sequoia, about 100 years ago, at the time of the Tree Wars.
This is Shannon McManus. We hope that you have enjoyed this production of Wings of Fire, Book 11, The Lost Continent, by Tui T. Sutherland. This audiobook was produced by Dion Audio and directed by Peter Straub. Executive producer, Paul R. Gagne. Print edition published by Scholastic Press, an imprint of Scholastic Inc. Text copyright 2018 by Tui T. Sutherland. Production copyright 2018 by Scholastic Inc. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.